There's a process to building anything. So kind of submit to the process, understand the process, and then daily do a Noah. Daily do a Noah. Like, God did not build that ark. That boy was building that ark for 100 and something years. Come on.
That's
Come
right.
on. What has God called you to do that you're waiting on him, but he's waiting on you?
Welcome to the Intertwined Life Podcast. I am your host, Jenny Zents. I am a wife and a mom on a mission. I've got a passion to help women discover practical ways to apply the power of God's word to our everyday stuff. I truly believe that our walks with the Lord should be seamlessly intertwined with our everyday lives. It should affect every move we make and every breath we take. So come on, let's do life together. You've got this, because he's got you. Hey guys, welcome. It is episode 95 of the Intertwined Life Podcast. And this one, like most things that I speak into the world, is full of passion and excitement. But in this one, I might have met my match. This is a really cool interview with Shiraz Sadiq. And he is, get this, he is a Canadian-born Pakistani Christian pastor. He's also a speaker, a life coach, an author. And he is so fired up. And the two of us, let's just say it's a good thing we were online and not in the same room, because it might have exploded. We are so passionate, so excited about the things of Christ, but also about encouraging you to walk in the God-designed purpose for which you were placed on this earth. And you know what? Sometimes we feel that passion, especially as moms, to do this great thing. And then all the other things that we have to do, like laundry and wipe up whatever the last thing that's been spilled on the floor is. And we start to feel like our calling, our passion is at war with what we have to do right now. Sometimes maybe we don't understand what our calling is in that moment. There's so much great stuff you're going to get out of this episode. We had so much fun, and Shiraz is here to encourage, inspire, empower, and put you on a path to embracing grace for your place right here and right now. And I'm telling you, you're going to walk away from this episode fired up. So enjoy all the value that is about to be unloaded into your ears in this episode. All right. So my friend, Shiraz Sadiq, is that correct?
Absolutely correct.
Awesome. Welcome to the Intertwined Life Podcast. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you. You're pretty awesome, because a friend of mine, her name is May, was looking into you a little bit. It sounds a little creepy, not from a creepy way.
It's normal.
I want to make sure, right? You know, you do your homework, make sure, your eyesight is aligned, right? A little bit of alignment there.
100%.
And she was telling me some of the stuff that you've done. Good on you.
Oh, thank you.
It's pretty encouraging to see a lot of other people headed in the same direction. But I think what's more importantly is, I think you and I share this passion of taking as many people as possible with us, because what's the point of going alone?
Amen. Amen. Go and make disciples of all people, right? So good. So good. Well, I'm really excited. I can't wait for, and no, you're absolutely right on that. Obviously, when you get requests for people who are like, hey, this person would be great for your podcast, you've got to go research them and listen to them. And it can be creepy, some of the things I've heard you say other places, but you've got to do it. You've got to do it.
Absolutely.
All right. So Shiraz, I would love to just start off with you just telling our listeners a little bit about yourself, who you are, and what's brought you to this place in your life.
Yes, such a long and short answer, all at the same time. I've tripped over my feet more times than I wish to count or recall. Mm-hmm. And I think how I've arrived here wasn't a perfect journey. It wasn't listening to the GPS, even though it was blaring at me, because even though it said, go straight, I made a left. Go right. I went straight.
Mm-hmm.
And how I arrived is just a beautiful orchestration of God recalibrating and constantly reorchestrating, constantly shifting the winds to get me back in alignment always of what his will is for. So, I mean, to answer your question, by the grace of God, and I know that's so generic to say, right? Like, it's like
that's
the Christian
so
thing to say, by the grace of God.
Christianese.
It is Christianese, right?
But it's truth.
It is. There is this one North Star that has always guided me, and that is be able to elevate and participate in the process of other people's prosperity. It's kind of the coach in me. It's kind of the pastor in me to always want to be able to, again, like we talked about off the top, take as many people as possible with us to more finish lines. And that's kind of what drives me, is helping people get to their own finish lines.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it. And I know that that's, you know, a huge part of, you wear many hats. You're a speaker, you're a pastor, you're author, and you're the founder of the Christian Business Harvest Network, which I would love to hear some more about. And I know, oh, also John Maxwell coach, correct?
You really looked into stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
I love John Maxwell. A little creepy, right?
I'm fortunate. I got to meet him once, and then I hung out with him another time for about, I don't know, maybe 20, 25 minutes. And it's really cool to be able to hang out with your mentor. And he doesn't even know that he's my mentor. Yeah. And folks, a mentor doesn't always have to be somebody that you have coffee with once a month. I'm sure you have not met Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but they've been mentoring and guiding your life for how long, right? So if you can lean into content that is in line and it kind of looks like you, smells like you, you probably want to declare it and pour some concrete and say, yeah, that's who I get mentorship from. But yeah, I've had some great opportunities to study his content. Yeah.
So good. So good. Big fan of him for sure. So one of the things I saw a lot of great ways we could go here with this episode, of course, and my audience predominantly is Christian. It's Christian women, predominantly Christian moms with kids at home is probably where most of the people fall. But I know that there can be such a tension in the heart of moms between our purpose. And I actually just recorded an episode last week that was just me ranting, and I was called Purpose Over Progress. And there's so, right? Because so many times I have to stop the thing I think I'm supposed to be doing, even though it's a good thing, to do the purpose, like John Maxwell could say, what only I can do, right? Only I can be my husband's wife. Only I can be my kid's mom. So sometimes my purpose that God designed me for, even though it's for me, teach the word and make disciples and light a fire in people for the Lord and help them experience the kingdom of God right here, right now, right? In their everyday lives. And that's why I do this. However, my purpose is also when my kids need to get to the doctor or somebody needs to be picked up or my husband's traveling and, you know, all the things, those also come into play. So I know as moms, we can find ourselves in the midst of this almost a tension between those two, what we want to do, what we feel called to do, what we're passionate about, and the things that we are definitely called and anointed to do, whether it's beautiful and, you know, glitzy or not. So one thing that I know you talk about is embracing grace for your grind. And I think that that's such, it may not be the angle you had in mind when you came up with that term, but man, for moms, I'm thinking, yes, because sometimes that messy middle between the call and the fruition doesn't look too pretty, doesn't feel real sexy, doesn't keep us going, right? And we have to remember that. So you take that, unpack that for us, and run with it.
Yeah, there. I love the word you use, tension. And it's a beautiful place to live in where it's that duality where of this world, we're not of this world. I'll share it in a different way. Two quick stories. I've always straddled that line between corporate world and leading sales teams on a national level versus being a pastor. And I've gone back and forth, back and forth. It's kind of like that mom who is at home and knows that, you know, it's what an amazing, beautiful purpose to raise a generation and put their fingerprints and stamp on the next generation as they're coming forward. But as well, they know that they have giftings in business. Maybe they have giftings towards engineering. Maybe they have giftings towards, you know, being a chiropractor and the training and the schooling, but that's had to be put on pause. Mm-hmm. And what do you do when, you know, there's two amazing things that you could do? Sometimes it's not, so the toughest choices aren't, you know, between good and great. It's between great and great.
Yeah. Right?
And how do you balance that off? And so I'll rewind a number of years ago when my wife had our second child in Canada. Folks, I'm from the GTA, the Greater Toronto Area. Up here at that time, you got 10 months maternity leave and it wasn't full pay, but you get 10 months off at 60% and you know, a good employer. So she was able to take that time off. Month four, she says, "Oh, hon, I'm done. Like, I can't do this. Like, don't worry, hon. I'll take the day off. I'll come. I had an older daughter at the time. She's got two girls. I'll take them. Just relax. She said, no, you don't understand. I want to go back to work. This is month four. No, wait. You want to go back to work? So what are we going to do? The little one's 4 months. You're not putting her in, like, what do you think? And she says, well, let's pray through it. She already had it in mind. It didn't take very long for me to approach her and say, don't worry about it. I'm taking paternity leave.
No.
I'm going to take time off and you go do what you got to do.
Yeah.
And in that moment, did she choose parenting over purpose through work? No. But there comes a time where whatever is screaming at you have to stop and respond and figure it out. We had a perfect window in which I could be at home with the kids, and I did. Sorry, another sidebar, just I hate, and moms, that this might resonate with you. When a mom is home, they're taking care of the kids. When a dad is home, they're babysitting. What? You can't babysit your own kids. Those are my babies. Those are
Amen.
my babies. So it's a shared responsibility. So moms, if you're feeling like, hey, dads are like sitting in and filling in sometimes, no, you let them know that they're your babies and you got to take care of these kids, right? Sorry for the rant. Sorry for the sidebar. Sorry. I'll come back to focus. So is this duality sometimes, and they duel with each other in duality, with that tension. Now, when you're talking about embracing the grace for your race, that changes things. You see, we're all called to do something. If grace is available, how come we're not all walking in it? There is this active responsibility that we have to go and embrace it and say, I am going to walk in grace today because God has called me to run my race. But you cannot, and I'm going to repeat this, you cannot embrace the grace that God has for you until you begin to understand your race. What's your race? He says, the grace is available, but he gives grace for what he called you to do.
Amen.
So you got to answer the question then, Jenny.
Oh, ooh, that's so good. Because sometimes we are striving in something he never called us to. He has no obligation to give us ability and strength and grace and peace in something he did not authorize, right? That is true. We got to stop and take a inventory of what we're doing before we can even. That's good.
When I was a youth pastor, one of the young ladies in our ministry, and one of the young men, she got pregnant, and she was 18 or 19. He was 20, 21, and she got pregnant, and my wife and I, we stepped up, try to cover her. We ended up being, her godparents, and it was just, we really got involved. And a few months after she was born, they decided not to get together, the young lady and the young man. That would have been very unhealthy. They both of them were not ready for a baby, let alone in a committed relationship. He comes and visits her, and he comes on with his telling, yo, baby. And she's like, yo, baby, what? I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think so. Like, no. And so he gets all mad and starts throwing things around. He said, but I thought this and I thought that. She's like, no, there's no yo baby. You need to see yo out of here. Let's go. And she calls my wife and I really upset. She said, he came over and, he wants this and he wants that. And she's really upset. I'm being completely honest with you, Jenny. I was gonna grab him and pummel him. Like, just pummel him. I was so upset. I really want to just grab him and just pound him. And I was waiting for Sunday. I'm a pastor on staff, and I'm waiting for this young man to walk in the doors. I'm gonna rough him up. Like, I don't care. Like, how dare you? And obviously that didn't happen, folks. I repented. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. I have tendencies, but I don't always act on
Human
them.
instinct.
Yeah, the protectionist, right? Like, you want to protect. And I was like, God, why is it that I can't shake this? Why am I still upset days later? I don't live like this, but why is it that I can't shake this one? And this is what he said to me. He said, My grace is sufficient for you, but not when you take on a challenge that I never asked you to pick up. And so here I am struggling, pastor in a church, and I'm struggling with unforgiveness. I'm struggling here because God never called me to pick that up in the emotional state in which I picked it up. I wasn't supposed to. I was just called to be there for her, but I wasn't be there to get him for her. So we really got to be careful, like what you said. Be careful what you pick up.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Yeah. That's so good. So when we talk about, so aside from, yes, definitely, let's make sure before we go seeking grace for our grind that we're in the right grind. So then when we are positive, we are in the right grind. How do we embrace grace for that? And are we talking about grace for ourselves in the process that takes so much longer than we expect it's going to take? Like, what do you mean by that, grace for our grind?
I think I've often heard this term, and for the record, I don't agree with it. I don't, but I've always heard this term. It's not scripture. It's an application of scripture. The opposite of faith is fear. And here's why I don't agree with it. The amount of times that I've moved forward in faith, yet still fearful.
Yes.
Man, I would say the greatest moments of faith that I've exercised have come with a huge dose side by side of fear.
Amen.
I had no clue if it's going to work out. What are people going to say? What will my family say? What's going to happen here?
Mm-hmm.
And I still went.
Mm-hmm.
I still went. And so that duality again, that tension that you brought up right off the top, it's like you move forward. So what do you do when you got a sense that this is what you're supposed to do? And even if you're not sure and you might have experienced a bout of doubt, you still got to go.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no way that Peter, who lived on the water his entire life, like I'm fortunate I was able to be in Israel and see what they claiming, where his house was in his fishing village. It's right on the water of the Sea of Galilee. He grew up on the water. He knows the laws of what sinking and swimming are, right? And so when the master says, come, let's do this. Let's walk on water.
Yeah.
All right, here comes brash Peter. He's going to jump out and walk on water, right? And he still took a step of faith.
Yeah.
What's interesting when you pose it now, what do you do when you're tapping into what you feel your purpose is, what your race is, and embracing that grace for your race? You're still, I just want to put this disclaimer, you might still experience moments, but you still got to get out of the boat.
Yeah.
You still got to get out of the boat. Because as soon as you start moving in that direction, you're going to get bombarded. It just kind of happens.
Yeah.
And you kind of got to pick up your faith on a daily, because if you don't do it on a daily, it gets hard.
Yes.
It gets really hard. So my first guidance is don't be afraid of feeling the fear.
Yes.
Feel it, but you don't have to consume it.
Yes.
Feel it, but you still got to embrace the grace to combat it, because the grace can combat the fear.
Yeah.
We might not be able to. Because sometimes you move forward in faith and in fear.
Yeah. Amen. We're called to be bold and courageous. And, you know, courage is not the absence of fear. It's the strength to move forward in the presence of fear, right? To not let it stop you and hold you back. That's courage. Yeah. You wouldn't have to be brave if there was nothing that you were afraid of, right?
Oh, wow. That's pretty good. I'm going to use that. That's pretty good.
Sure.
You would have nothing to be courageous for. Sorry, you said it a lot better.
No, I was just saying, like, there's no need to be brave if there's nothing you're afraid of. Right? It's like submitting. There's no need to submit if you have no strength that you're submitting. That's just laying down. But submission is strength that is under control. It's meekness. You know, I mean, submitting means taking something strong and putting it under an authority willingly. And that's so anyway, those, but yeah, without fear, you don't even have a need for courage. So we're called to be bold and courageous. And
but I'm going to switch it up a little bit. Yeah. Can I ask you a question? Is that all right?
It always cracks me up when the guests do this. I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Because here's the thing. There's somebody listening right now that they have something popping in their chest. They're like, hey, I got to get on with getting on and I got to do something.
Yeah.
Jenny, what was it that made you said, okay, I got my family and but I still want to make time and carve out time to do this podcast. I'm going to go through your top five doubts. I don't know the technology. How do I do
Yes,
this?
number one, amen and amen.
Okay. I don't know how to do the marketing for a podcast. How are people going to find me? Wait, whoa, what if nobody listens and I'm doing this for years? Wait. What if nobody wants to be a guest? Like there's this huge list. And if you're listening in right now, Jenny's about to tell you how she overcame those challenges and those fears.
That's good. I will have to say we're all different. So I never want anybody to say, well, I should feel the way she feels. I am an extremely passionate person. And that is something that the Lord put in me. And I think that most of the time, and maybe it is knowing that you are walking in what he has called you to, because what he calls you to, he gives you the ability to do. And even though all of those things you listed very much struggles that I still have, but it's placing those in his hands, saying, okay, I'm just going to take one step at a time. But the passion and the desire to do it and to step out and to reach people, and whether it's the podcast or the pulpit, wherever I am teaching, it is like, no, my passion to do what he's called me to do will outweigh and outrank the fears and the doubts any day. But I think it's because of knowing what he's planted in me.
I
Is that
love
what you're
that, the
hoping
way
for?
that, it's somebody needed to hear that. And I love what you're saying. It outweighs, it outranks, but it doesn't dismiss it.
Exactly.
Right? So
Exactly.
to fight the fear of casting out the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus, all right, I ain't knocking that. Go cast out everything you need to cast out. Go do your thing, right? Break out the oil, anoint everything. Let's go, let's do it. And it's like, what if I were to direct that energy in a different way? All the battles that we're fighting, wait a second, what if I just use it instead of fighting to progress and just progress and progress, put my energy here? Yeah, you feel the heat, but don't get out your fire extinguisher. That's his responsibility to wrap you. He says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord shall surround his people. He's got you fireproofed. You feeling the heat? You ain't gonna get burned. Like, press but not crushed. So as soon as you turn and face what you were called on the planet to do, to live and fulfill, man, you're gonna feel heat. That's cool. By the way, you're gonna feel heat even if you don't. So you might as well feel the heat of progress instead of the heat of nothingness.
And it's that one step at a time. It's one step at a time. It's also in my own personality, which is like perfectionist tendencies, Enneagram one, all of that, to trust him with the results, to just say, okay, Lord, I will do the work. You are responsible for what happens. It's just like the farmer and the seed. Like, I'm going to put it out there. And if you want it to grow, you make it grow. If you want people to hear it and find it, you do that. I just need to be faithful with the work you call me to do and trust that, into his hands. But then also the old quote that's been, I don't even know who originally said it now because it's been said so much, but don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. That was huge for me, because for me to put anything out there that I didn't feel was perfect, like right, was really hard, but it was never going to be perfect and right the first time out of the gate, right? So I had to eventually just push publish, just take that step, just be okay not being perfect, but being willing to be used. And he covers in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. And he covers our mess with who he is if we just walk in obedience one step at a time.
Absolutely love that, right? It's like a few years ago, we were in Orlando, and my wife just looks at me. She's like, "Hey, are you finally gonna write that book?" And I'm looking at her like, "Wait. I don't. You're not hearing from God. I don't want to write a book." Like, I didn't say this to her. I'm like, "Oh, okay, hon. It was just one of those things where, like, okay, she's saying something that I don't understand." Ladies and gentlemen, the women in your life, they just operate on a different frequency, and you just got to listen. Even if you don't get it, give it some time. Give it some time, you'll get it. You'll figure it out. And she says, "You can finally write that book." And I was like, "Oh, all right." And then, sure enough, within a few weeks, I start putting pen to paper, and I never set out to be an author. I set out to be obedient.
Yeah.
That was it. I never
That's
set out
good.
to write a bunch of books. I
That's
see,
good.
and then when I got into it, like, all right, this is good. I like this. And I was able to apply some of the skill set that God has taken me through doing copyright for marketing websites and the like, and apply it in a book format. And what was beautiful about that process is I cut 80 something pages out of the final draft because it became less about what I wrote, more about who was able to read it. So we cut it down to just 10 chapters. Each chapter is like 10 or 13 pages. That's it. Because I'm not interested in reaching the readers. I was interested in reading the dormancy that exists in the body of Christ. Now, I apologize for the hard shift and turn in the
No, I
conversation.
like it. It's called the Well Done book, right?
Well done, A Passionate Pursuit of Purpose. And so what you find is Pareto is very active. Of course, folks, Pareto's the 20-80 principle, meaning 20% of the people do 80% of the work. But if you apply that in a Christian context, if you evaluate your church, whatever church you go to, it's not good or bad, folks. It's just sometimes it applies. Most times it does. 20% of the people do 80% of the giving. 20% of the people do 80% of the serving. 20% of the people do 80% of the ministry. And you have this large group of consumers, and this book was written to the Christian consumers and saying, hey, you want to switch over and be a contributor? And that's where it w w was the genesis of yes, my wife saying, hey, write a book. And then, okay, what am I writing about? It's about speaking to the consumers who might not even know that their lifestyle is one of consuming, not contributing.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And you, this may or may not go together with this, but you talk about what you call process of progress. Can you talk about that a little bit and how we can engage with that?
I don't mean to be controversial in this statement, but you are a passionate firecracker the way I am, and sometimes we just say things.
Oh gosh,
And
yes.
so I'm just gonna go for it as well. I have seen in my limited time on the planet, folks waiting for the Christian lottery. And like, hey, and I'll describe it to you. It's my turn for a miracle. I'll go to this prayer meeting and surely the Lord will show up for my miracle. And it's like we're playing this Christian lottery and we could be going to this revival meeting and that revival meeting. I got no problems with that. Go, encourage, join with the saints and pray and celebrate the God of the miracles. Fine. But if you're treating it like the lottery, like, could my number be up now? Is this the day I'm finally going to get healed? And if you think about it this way, if you were to do that for like 8 months, what, and you're praying for health, what if you just ate better for 8 months? What if you just went for a walk
Sometimes God
five
going,
days a
do your
week?
part first.
Oh, hey, yeah. And so understanding the process of progress, everything great that we accomplish is a result of the progress or the process that we submitted to. Everything. You want to be a doctor? No, but I prayed and the Lord said that I'm a doctor, so give me my license. Come on, we know it doesn't work that way, and I don't think anybody thinks like that. That's an extreme example. But if the realities are study to show yourself approved, is what he says to Timothy, all right, well, then what is it that you want? Like when you started your podcast, you had to study and figure that what's the process of launching a podcast? Okay, I got to do X, Y, where am I going to put my content? Logos. Like there's a process to building anything. So kind of submit to the process, understand the process, and then daily do a Noah. Daily do a Noah. Like God did not build that ark. That boy was building that ark for 100 and something years. Come on.
That's
Come
right.
on. What has God called you to do that you're waiting on him, but he's waiting on you? What
That's good
ark
right
is
there.
it that's going to take years, but you're like, yeah, God, it's going to take years. And God's like, yeah, son, daughter, it's going to take years. But God is, I'm tired. Yeah, it's tiring work. But God, nobody cares. Yeah, but I do. But God, okay. But God, okay. The process of progress is kind of the same of a concept is married into sports training, right? I'm fortunate to be around a number of athletes, professional athletes from mentorship role, and I'm very fortunate to be in that position with them and journey with them. They always tell me the same thing. The season is built on the preseason. So before you start shining, will you begin to define and then refine, and then you'll shine, right? So there's a process that goes into, you don't just show up on game day. You don't show up on game day. Football, for example, American football, they have a three step, right? It's day one, day two, day three, game day. So that 3 days, they always go through a process. And then they shine. So it's define what we want to do, refine our effort, and then go and shine.
That's good.
You know, the process of progress.
Yeah. And we want, just the instant gratification, you know, and our North American minds and, you know, all those things don't compute. Like we're saying, like 150 years, God's like, go build this ark. It's going to flood. The world's going to be gone. It had never rained. Right. And Noah had to not only believe that God was true, then he had to believe that he was faithful for a really, really long time while everybody stood around and said, you are whack. Right. Everybody's watching him going, dude, what are you doing? You're absolutely crazy for 150 years. And we think if 50 days after we feel like we've heard from the Lord, we don't have significant progress, then we must have misunderstood. Right. Oh, man. So, so good. Just that. I know that that's a big thing on your heart is helping people step into and walk in the purpose that they have been ultimately designed by the Lord for. So if there's anything else on your heart in those realms, you just go for it. Cause this is good. This is so good.
Yeah. There's this, ultimately what the impetus of this book was simply this, Matthew 7 and Matthew 25, there's this judgment day scene. And in that scene, Jenny, these are Christians. How do we know they're Christians? Because they're saying, Lord, Lord. These aren't atheists, Muslims. They're saying, Lord, Lord. So they know who he is, and they're calling him by his title, that relational element of Lord, Lord. And then he says, depart from me. I knew you not. And there's two things that immediately jump out from that. Depart from me. I knew you not. The response was, Lord, Lord, I did this in your name. I did that in your name. One of them, super Christian, please stand up. And she did, or he did. And she said, Lord, Lord, I cast out demons in your name. Like what? If you are the one in your church laying hands and demons are flying, you probably consider like, what? That person's got it going on when it comes to their spiritual walk with God, right? And they're tight in their walk with God. And it's amazing. And that doesn't qualify you for eternity, please, full stop. What the heck is going on here? What we're celebrating in church, what looks good in church might not look good in eternity. And that gripped me, and it gripped me because now I'm looking to my left and the right, and I'm saying, wait, some of us aren't going to make it into eternity? And that was years ago, and I stopped in that moment, and I stopped celebrating mediocrity. I stopped celebrating the things that we're supposed to do. John Bevere is someone that I lean into a lot of his content a lot. And he has this one line in one of his books where revolutionary for me. He said, we're not going to be called. We're not going to be judged against what we did on earth. Right. Like there's this moment where we picture it, like you pick up your 80 years of life and you're like, oh, here you go. And you drop it in front of God on judgment day. Like, God, judge me. Here we go. And the dross burns up and the whatever gold remains. But John Bevere painted it this way. He said, we're not going to be judged on earth for what we did. We're going to be judged against a standard. And there has to be a standard because it's not fair for me to be judged the same way. I'm fortunate. I was born in Canada. My parents are from Pakistan. But if I was born in Pakistan, I'd have a very different existence than the young girl in Africa from the young man in Australia and South America. So he can't judge us all on an equal line. So we're not going to be judged for what we did on earth. We're going to be judged against what we were supposed to do on earth. And that changes everything because the second thing that jumps out in both Matthew 7 and Matthew 20, Matthew 25 says, depart from me, I knew you not. Wait a second, God. Are you saying that what qualifies me for eternity is not what I did? Because that was their explanation. Their justification was, well, I did this, I did this, I did this. He said, no, I knew you not. You didn't take the time to get to know me. You didn't hang out with me. You didn't yada me, meaning the ultimate form of intimacy. As a matter of fact, the word know there, I did not knew you, is gnosko. It's the same word, gnosko, knew, where it says, and Adam knew Eve, and Joseph did not know Mary, meaning sexual engagement, that personal intimacy.
Yeah.
Right. It's actually the word. Why do we know it's sexual? Because it's that's where we get the word gynecology from. And so what we're saying here is God is saying, hey, can you just spend some time with me and just get intimate with me? Take your layers off. Hang out with me. It's cool. Because if we are made in his image, a reflection of him, that intimacy, another way to say it is into me, you will see. You'll see what? You. And the more time that we would just stop, put it down and hang out with God, what are we going to see? We're going to see more of who he created us to be. And then, ladies and gentlemen, at that point, boom, life is going to take off, because now you're operating in alignment with what he's called you to do. And we know this, Jenny. We've both been able to experience this numerous times. And many folks who are listening in right now have also experienced this. When you live like that, God brings his resources for you, because if he called you to it, he'll fight for you.
And I want to back up real quick and just make sure that we do make it clear for anybody listening, because I know people listen from all different faith backgrounds and stuff. Just, it is not what we've done, it is Jesus Christ alone. And it is our faith in Jesus that puts us into that personal relationship with the perfect Father. It's only through Christ that we can have that intimacy with God, right? And so it's once our faith is in him, then yes, that's the beginning of this journey, the beginning of coming to know our Lord more and more and more. And he's less interested in our do than he is in our who, right? And when we stand before him and we can just plead Jesus, because all the other stuff's not worth anything. And then it's like, man, he covers us. So then as we step into that purpose, I love what you're saying, because the more we, instead of going to scripture, looking for what do I do? We go to scripture, learning who he is. Wow. And then as we learn that we are his image, created in his image, we get a clearer picture then through knowing him more of who we really are and what we're created for. Yeah.
I think for a lot of folks, it's time to put down your to-do list and pick up your to be list.
Yeah. Let's talk.
Because when you know who you are, then you'll know what you're to do.
Yes. Oh, when you know who you are, then you will know what you are to do.
What we do is a function of who we are.
That is good. That is so good.
I know we're probably over time. I know we are because then here we go. Here's my last thoughts here. Luke 4, verses 1 to 14. We all know this. It's the scene where Jesus is in the desert and he's being tempted, right? And I just want to reinforce this to do, to be, tension. Again, I love that word. It's what's amazing. It says he goes into the desert, Jenny, full of the Spirit. And folks, no matter what translation, I'm a Bible nerd, so I go back to the Koine Greek every time, a bunch of translations to make sure I really exegete the word properly when I'm speaking here and there. And it says he goes into the desert full of the Spirit. Okay, that's verse 1. Verse 14, he says it comes out full of the power of the Spirit. He goes in full of it, comes out of it full of the power of the Spirit. In between there, there's this transition of activation of the knowledge of who God is and walking in the fullness of what God has called us to do. And it changes everything for me when I bookended what it says, literally, walk in power, walk in full of it, walk out full of the power of the Spirit.
And what caused that was the trial.
Yeah. And if you look at what the trial was, He says, if you are the son of God, do this. If you are the son of God, do that. Like, no, stop it, Sunday school. Stop it, stop it, stop it. Because the temptation was never to do the wrong thing, because read it properly, check it, no matter what translation. He went after his identity.
Yes,
He says,
amen.
if you are
Yes. Yes.
not what you gonna do, prove it. He said, if you are twice, up 2 out of 3 times was, it wasn't doing the wrong thing, it was being the wrong person. Because as soon as you be something that God has not called you to be, you already lose.
Power's gone.
You want to walk in the power? Walk in the power that has always been available when
Yes.
we step into the skin that God designed us to be in. And that's the first journey of figuring out, okay, what is it that I'm called to do? When you get a little inkling, jump into the water, Peter. You might sink, but don't worry, you're never going to drown. Look, folks, if you're drowning, congratulations. Honestly, congratulations for drowning. At least you're not like the other chickens who are still in the boat, afraid and watching everybody else.
Amen.
At least you're
Amen.
willing to take a step. What do you think God's going to honor? The ones chilling in the boat, or the ones who are jumping in the water, sink or swim? I got to follow through on this inkling, this tickling, this unsettling in my spirit. Jump. Because that's where the power is. It's in the jump. It's not in the safety of the boat. Which one do you want to be? The disciple in the boat? Or do you want to be Peter in the water? Yes. Oh no, he doubted. Oh no. Oh no, he was drowning. Oh no. Yeah, but he got to touch Jesus walking on water while you see in the safety of your boat. Who got to experience it? The ones who are saying, I'm afraid I'm gonna drown because I know how the natural world works, but I'm gonna go anyways.
And that's, and you know, and we know it's the second Peter shifted his gaze from Jesus to his fear that he began to sink. But what happened when he called back out to the Lord? If from there, no matter where he was, no matter how he was sinking and failing, once he cried back out to Jesus, Jesus reached back out to him. And so you can always get right back in line. Just shift your gaze from the fear to the Father. I mean, so much good stuff. We got a lot of books to write out of this episode. So good.
You don't understand, folks. You might be listening in, but this was just for me. Just get to hang out with Jenny, because like this is just awesome right here. And when you have this much passion in the same room, it's awesome. So thank
When you
you.
get two passionate, fiery people, we get each other really excited.
So
I know.
thank you, thank you. Like
Oh,
purely selfish. I get to hang out with Jenny. Like, this is awesome. This is
I'm
exciting.
loving this.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm so thankful that this connection happened. So I've got a question for you that I really want to hear, because with your passion, with your fire, with your excitement, with the course the Lord has your life on, I always end with a few specific questions. And so I want to ask you, what is your life verse, or a verse that is especially bringing you life right now?
Well, let me rewind. It is always been having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof.
Amen.
I ain't about playing church. I'm just not about it. I'm not about looking the part, because in the end you fall apart. It's like when he's saying having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. There are a lot of things that irk me about. You see, I've been fortunate to come to be born in Canada, but to be raised in a Pakistani home. And I hated it. My name is Shiraz, but I wanted my name to be Scott. Because in the 80s, when you're in elementary
Yes,
school and you're brown in
yes.
Canada, let me tell you, you want to be whitewashed as possible. You want to pick up your hockey stick and you want to go ice skating, right? And in my schools, me and my brother and sister, we were like one of five non-white kids in our school. Racism, yeah, every single day, but it never registered, because that was just life. Like, we didn't call it racism, we just called it life. Life's
Life.
hard, suck it up. I don't want reparations. I'm sorry. Yes, I said that. So we all experience tough times, and so that formed me to who I am today. And I look back and I celebrate those moments, having
Amen.
a form of godliness but denying the power. I would have denied the power if I didn't embrace the tough times that God brought me through. So that was always, but lately, I don't know. I've been getting a lot emotional a lot, and it sucks. I'm not an emotional person. Like even right now, I can feel it welling up. And when it's two words, Jesus wept. I don't care if I got it figured out. God cares, do I care? Like, he sees this procession walking by, and people are experiencing real pain. They're going through loss. There's a funeral happening, and Jesus weeps because he's experiencing the pain of humanity. And man, it's I'm so like sensitive and triggered at the immediate, like, when you see God's children hurting, I got to do something about it. Like, it's going to cost you something, but I got to do something about it. I can't be a spectator. I can't be on the sidelines. Doesn't matter. Well, God called me to be a speaker to thousands. Yeah, but can you help the one who's struggling on the street? And as much as that is what I'm called to do, and I get to do it, and great, my heart's breaking on a daily of the people who might not make it into eternity. And so that Jesus wept, just feeling that more and more and more and more, not just a Bible trivia as the shortest verse in the Bible, but can I feel the people around me? And then can I do something about it? That's it, man. Like, that's really what's been like crushing me more than anything else. Two words, just crushing me.
Oh man, that's good. Oh, that's so good. Oh, so what's one simple practical tip you could share with our listeners about how to intertwine their walk with the Lord and their everyday life?
Simple jump. Jump.
Love it. Love it.
Jump.
Just
Who
jump.
cares? Who cares? Oh, somebody's not gonna like you. Jump. You might hurt yourself. Jump, because you're hurting right now anyways.
Yes. Yes.
I'm gonna get hurt. No, you're hurting right now anyways. Truth. As the kids these days would say, facts. You jump. Like, I don't know how else to explain it. We call it faith, but what is faith? Our set of doctrine, or is it action? Which one is it? This is my faith. I'm Christian. That's my faith. No, that's your belief system. I'm saying, can you step out in faith? Faith without works is
Dead. Just gonna think. That's James. I was just thinking the same thing.
like, it's jump.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Put some feet on that faith. That's so good. All right. Any resource you'd like to share? Definitely your book. Where do you
If
like?
you, yeah, if you feel so inclined that this conversation meant something to you, and you want to go get it, Amazon, well done book dot, or on our website, well done book dot info. Again, that's well done book dot info. But from a resource that's been really great for me, I'm not a huge reader, because I'm not trying to read books to get through books. I'll chew on books. And if it takes me 4 weeks to read a book, I'm good with that. I'm fantastic with taking my time going through, because I'll like underline stuff and like meditate. Hey, God, what are you saying? What are you saying to me? What are you saying through me? Who do I need to bring this to? Right? A John Maxwell principle. When anytime you re intake new knowledge, you need to act on it. Right? And so this is what the acronym ACT is. I need to add this knowledge to me. I need to change something about me, or T, I need to teach someone else.
Good.
Right? So on purpose, I like mark up every single book, doggy-eared everything. Nobody reads a book after I'm done with it. There might be some coffee stains and sweat stains. I don't know. There's some stains on it.
I hear you.
So the book that right now has been meaningful to me, the name of the book, oh, what's her, the her last name is Orji, Orji, it's Bamboozled by Jesus.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, she's a roughneck. She doesn't mix words. There's some stuff in there. It's not for the faint of heart or the average Christian, because they're going to get offended really easily by her story, but it's her story. And I'm
Awesome.
loving it. Shout out to you, Miss Orji, if you're listening. You're revolutionizing my thinking once again and yet again. But yes, Bamboozled
Awesome.
by Jesus.
I'm
It's
gonna
a
have to check
phenomenal
that one
read.
out. It does open us so much when we can get out of our own little bubble and see that Jesus is for all people and all walks of life, and he relates on a personal level to each of us. And when we can stop thinking just our churchanese way, you know, and all the just see God's power in the lives of his people everywhere in all ways. So I'm definitely gonna check out that book. That's exciting. All right. Well, where can my people find you and connect with you?
Welldonebook.info is, you know, there's some contact information there. You can connect with us there. We meet Thursday nights. A bunch of people jump on a Zoom call to talk about their work life and careers. But here's where you're going to find not me. I'm more interested in you finding yourself. Folks, Jenny, I've taken the time to have this conversation, but for us, we're going to talk to our pets if we have to. We'll preach to the flowers if we have to. Don't worry about us. We're going to get our goods out there, right? It's like, but what about you? Is it maritime, right? And more important than finding us, finding you. Like, if you haven't figured it out, that's my sister. We're from the same tribe in heaven. Like, can you tell? Like, she might have better hair, better skin. I'm okay with that, right? I'm good. But you tell that there's a kindred nature in our conversation when you're just children of the Most High?
Yeah.
But I tell you what, we are also here for you. So if that's what you want to reach out for, not only me, reach out to Jenny. We're here for you, man. Like, whatever it is that you need, reach out. If we don't have the resources, we'll connect you with somebody who does. Because what matters more than this is you. Please remember that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Good. Thank you so much, Shiraz, for being here today. I'm so glad we made this connection. It's, like you said, always so much fun to find someone that we can geek out on scripture and all these like tech nerds out there. I'm like, no, I'm Jesus nerd. You know, this is so good. So good. Well, thank you for being here. Thank you for your time, for everything you're putting out there. You are making a massive difference. And I really believe that this is going to be a very powerful episode for many people listening. So I really appreciate you.
Thank you, Jenny, for having me on.
Hey, friend, if you enjoyed this episode and you got some good stuff out of it, there's a few options you have. One, you could click that little subscribe button, because let's be honest, who's got time to remember to check back and see if there's a new episode, right? So click that subscribe button, and then when a new episode comes up, it will just, by the magic of the internet, pop up in your Dropbox, and it'll be right there for you whenever you're ready. And also, if you would review this podcast, oh my gosh, if you like what you heard, get on there, give it a 5-star review. If you didn't like what you heard, just pretend it never happened, okay? But if you would do a review for me, just take a couple seconds and do that. Not only would I be crazy excited, but also it would just be a great way for us to partner together, for you to help this podcast be seen by more women out there. And you could be a part of helping more women discover these practical ways to apply God's word to just everyday stuff. So I would love it, love it, love it if you could help me out in one of those two ways.